you know, I love God so much. The little time that I get to pray, because we're very busy, it's like when I sit in His presence, or when I think of the work or the calling that He has placed on us here, my heart cannot, I cannot do anything but rejoice and be thankful. It is full of fire, my heart, when I think of that. And I said to God, I said, you know, if there's one thing, and we can prophesy and we can do all these things tonight and tomorrow night and so on, but if there's one thing, I want this fire to come into your spirit. It is not by a man's work by me. It is only by God's work that it can be done. He places a fire there. No man can do it. We can lay hands. And as a prophet, yes, there's a degree that I can do things. But unless a person is willing and open or hungry for it, it cannot go in. Are you guys with me? The Holy Ghost is a gentleman, which means He works on our will. When is now it can get to such an intensity where His presence will touch and everybody in this place will feel it. You know, or people will run again like last night. We'll see. I don't know. But your heart, your spirit has to be open for that fire. When fire comes in, no one can keep you silent. Are you guys with me? Listen, fire has the ability to attract attention. A person that is set on fire, people will come and watch them burn. When you are set on fire, I'm not speaking about a soulish or emotional fire. There's a fire that's by spirit that will come on you. You will not be able to keep silent when you go out of this place. It'll be burning on you. Now tonight, what do I mean? What do I mean by channeling? Meaning that last night was good. Tonight's going to be a little bit better. And we have to go and then it's going to go higher even by the end of tonight and then tomorrow night. And it's preparing people to go into a place. With conferences all around South Africa, we have what we call a Monday night syndrome. And we have officially broken it from starting ECC. Not once. And I've preached in how I've preached in so many churches. We call it the Monday night syndrome. Or the preachers. Because it's low attendance. Nobody wants to come. Plus they're not expectant. And then usually God moves on a Monday night because it is a few people and He doesn't want to move with a lot of people. You know, if there's too many people, even Jesus had to chase them out of a room when He wanted to raise the dead. So sometimes God doesn't want people in a place, because they will limit the move of God. When Jesus went on the mountaintop, He said, I want Peter, James, and John with me so that my glory can be revealed to them, that they will be the ones that will see Moses and Elijah. They will be the ones, not the others. Why? Because there are certain people that hearts is connected with you, that God says, now I don't even see you as unity. I see you as one. Like I said, unity is for the earth. Oneness is for heaven. God works in oneness, not in unity. Are you guys with me? Look, I can even disagree with somebody when we're in unity. But when we are one, there's not even a time to think of any agreement or disagreement. You move left, everyone moves left. You move right, everyone moves right. It's oneness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He's one, yet He is three. Are you guys with me? But when He was walking to Abraham, visiting him, it was what we call a theophany. And He said, I have to go past by Abraham before I strike Sodom and Gomorrah. And God walked, and most theologians that I agree with will say it was God manifest in the flesh, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which means Abraham saw the Trinity walking in a human form towards him, which was the actual form of God. Because he said, let us make man in our image. So he said to the Holy Ghost, he spoke to his son and he spoke to himself. He said, let us make man to look like us. So how does the Holy Spirit look? We think he's a cloud. He's a person. If the Holy Ghost has to be here, he will look like somebody in the crowd. I know I'm messing up a lot of people now. Because when Abram looked at them, all three of them were walking towards him, running it past him before destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, what I mean by Monday night syndrome being broken, there are people can still, I mean, last night we had what, 4.5 hours or something service? And then that is still just starting. Okay. The only reason we're not going through the night is because of the sound problems and complaints. That's the only reason. Because my favorite would be to teach through the night, and by 12, 1 o'clock, when it's God's time, it's what we call a watch. It's the watch where God would move. The time segment where God would move. That is where you would see miracles. And that is where you would see importation. You know, and when I was just sitting this afternoon, I was thinking, now in this conferences, there's no, I don't ever pray in these things. You get some people, they karabashakara for 8 hours and then nothing happens. I don't pray because there's a flow when it comes to this. So there's nothing that I will do to twist God's arm to make a move tonight. It has been ordained. All I have to do is surrender to him. Do I believe in prayer? Of course I do. What I meant by Monday night syndrome being broken, after 4.5 hours, people are still sitting here hungry. Yes. And then tonight, and then tomorrow night. And you know, and then I was thinking, and I said, God, you know, every person in this place whose heart is connected, and there's so many, I could have never imagined when we planted the church, we thought maybe 80 people for 2 years. Yeah. I promise you, that's what I spoke to my team about. It's true. So, which means it's sovereign. Say with the location.
Location.
I said to you, God is the location, but he's not really, he still uses man. So God never leaves an area or a location, he leaves a man. And just like you're sitting, and I was thinking that those that are here and connected here, they'll be equipped with so much fire. I'm not even speaking of leadership abilities or those things, but by the end of tomorrow night, that people must leave this place. They must reach their neighborhoods, plant I groups and E groups, and reach out and lay hands. It'll be a command that from Tuesday till Sunday, you would have to go and pray for 4 to 5 people. And you will see what will happen when you pray for them. For those that have received importation, boldness. Listen here, importation gives you boldness, that's all. All the Holy Ghost is looking for somebody that is bold. Importation gives you the boldness to know, but wait. If I'm sitting under this anointing, if I'm sitting in this atmosphere, it is by a spiritual law that I have to operate in double than what is going on in this atmosphere. It is the law of importation. And I thought, God, I said, look at all these people that are hungry and they're going to be equipped. And there's going to be sent out apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. In the right time, it'll be sent out of this place. And you'll see that this place here has the touch of God. Nothing that I've said or done from the top ministers that have ministered here. I remember one person said to me, they after one meeting, they walked out and they said, Leon, I have never in 20 to 30 years experienced the presence of God like this in a normal Sunday morning meeting. Now, that is, and then they said to me, and may it be on record. And they said to me, I do not have to question one word. I don't have to question any of your doctrinal word that you listen here. Where the word is preached purely, with being pure, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow. For these signs will follow those who believe. Say with me, believe in my name, that they will believe in his name. Number one, they shall cast out devils. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues, which means that if you're sitting under this anointing and you rabus kedeleve ebrandus kedelevaya, les kotelevare kedelebos brendaske, when you pray in other tongues, it means that you are a believer. Now let me not touch on if you don't pray in tongues. That is it. Because the Bible says, those who believe in my name shall cast out devils. Number two, shall speak with new tongues. Is speaking in tongues now of God or not of God? You know, and is falling over or not of him or not of him? Somebody said to me, I'm pushing people over. They got a church. I think their church is 30 people. They said, no, you're pushing people over. I said, I think you should begin to push people over also, so that at least something can happen. I was just being honest. That is like often. And everyone here will know I don't push. You know, it's amazing. I was accused so many times of it that I would eventually say, okay, I'm not even like laying hands. I'll just be blowing. Then it's them. One guy in America falls over, bang his head, and wants to sue where I was preaching for $5 million or something like that. So I said, bring up the video. In America, it's suing happy. Oh, Kevin is here. It's suing happy, okay? And I said, bring up the video. I said, I do not push people. I don't care whoever says what. Now, if you fall forward or a devil pushes, and then I'll push. I'll even hit you. But I've hit people. They never, no one has ever known. Where was it? What was it? Was it a destiny? Somebody, huh? You were next to me. This person was, you know, so, you know, some stupid people would think, oh, let me attack the, and act like as if I have a demon. So, they tackled me like this, and I was just hitting them in the rug. And turned in nonsense. So, So I said, bring up the videotapes and we see. And they brought over and I was standing here and the man was on that side and he fell over and he hit his head. And then they said, no. And then apparently it was caught up that it was going from place to place to place to and suing them for it, for churches for it. And as a rule, I do not push. And everyone that has been here that would know is just we don't push. If I push, it would be by accident, literally like me falling or out of speed or something like that. But we don't push. I've seen many ministers push people because they lose the anointing. Say with me, fire. The fire has to be received, but it requires somebody who is desperate. Now let me tell you, there were disciples walking on the road of Emmaus with Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And they didn't know it was him. So, after he was raised, he had a normal body like us. And it was even his body, because where's his body? But let's not get into that, okay? It's not in the grave. So they didn't recognize him when he was walking. And then after their eyes were, so with the eyes were opened. You cannot see Jesus as in the presence of God without your eyes being opened. There's a reason the Bible says that apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. Because it is apostles and prophets that carry and bring revelation. And it's prophets that opens eyes. It's God that opens eyes, but it's through a prophetic anointing. And then we would say Old Testament prophet, New Testament prophet. No. The one prophet, that is it. Nowhere in Scripture does it say Old Testament, New Testament prophet. It's otherwise we are diluting the gift of the prophet. Now a prophet must just edification, exhortation, and comfort. No. You don't even know what exhortation means. But people are just saying it. It means to take aside and rebuke hardly. Okay? So, but anyway, that is for the gift, not the office. Now we delude and we say, no, but wait, that prophet there is pointing out that sin, and no, that's the office. Don't touch that. And we are diluting it simply because, some aren't say simply because they cannot do it. And fire comes. So the Bible says that their eyes were opened when they were eating with Jesus. And many of you know the story. But after their eyes were opened and they realized it was Him, they said to one another, "Did our hearts not burn on the inside of us when He opened up?" Say with me, opened up. There's an opening up of the scripture that can only happen under prophetic anointing. I don't care who says what right now. You can read a scripture, like I said to you, that Bible will automatically, will even take your hands and closes it. But when you are in a place where location where there's a move of God, and the Bible says that God draws to Him. No one comes to Him unless He draws someone to Him. There must be a drawing. The book of Psalms says, it says, "By the entrance of His word, He giveth light." The word has to enter you. Too many churches preach, I don't even want to say logos. But it is because you have logos, you have rhema, you have many different types of the word of God. Logos, we say many times, is the dead word. No. It's not. There's another word for written that I'm not even going to get into. The written word. But Corinthians says when we preach the word without the Spirit, we bring death. Which means if I sit in the wrong place and the word is being preached without the Spirit of God, revelation, the opening up of the word. Are you guys with me? Death. It's not even neutrality, it's death. I am killing people as I'm preaching. For example, what is the opening up of the word? In the book of Corinthians, when Paul is saying, he says, for we have the mind of Christ. Where is that? 1 Corinthians. You are like a professor, so it's 1 Corinthians 2:9. Put it on. Let me tell you something. Say with the opening up of the word. Quickly, guys. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Read with me. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. Okay. Say with me, say, "For who has known the mind of Christ," or the mind of the Lord? Say with me, "that He may instruct him." We never read that part. So Paul is saying, listen here, who has known, who has the mind of the Lord, that this person can tell God what to do? So with the opening of the word. But, say with me, but, we have the mind of Christ. Say it again, say, we have the mind of Christ. Paul is saying, listen here, who has the mind? You see, people are hating this. It's your Bible. I'm quoting 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 16. For who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Capital H. Are you guys with me? Who has the mind of the Lord that he can tell God what to do? Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. What am I saying? I'm not saying we can tell God what to do. I'm trying to get revelation through to you. That why did God have to go past Abraham? to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did he have to go past Moses to take out Israel or to kill the people? Because they had shares. Because I don't know if you understand it. This is what we call the friend of God level. Are you guys with me? Abraham, I will make you possessor of heaven and earth. For now, I will give you shares. Which means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We want to kill and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But let's go past Abraham. Are you guys with me? What did I just do to you? It's an opening of the word. That is what brings revelation. That is what brings light. That is what brings change. And it is that which the disciples said when they were sitting in the house. They said, did our hearts not burn on the inside of us when he opened up the scriptures to us? When he was taking a verse or a scripture and he opened it, he torn the veil. He ripped the veil and revealed what was behind it. Because how is it that some preacher can preach the scripture and kill people, and somebody else can preach the same verse and bring life or miracles? It is revelation. Say with me, revelation. Say apocalypse. It's a revealing and opening of the eyes. That is what is needed for this nation to change. Gifts are imparted by this way. No gift comes without revelation. What do we do at ECC? We have a process. We do revelation. With revelation comes importation. Then there comes a demonstration. Then that person who has been imparted to begins to manifest it after they've been activated. But how do you get activated? Because we say importation, we lay hands. Activation is so simple. You just go and do it. If we say you can prophesy, you go and prophesy. That's activation. That is it. That is doing it. That's as simple as that. There's no... And when we don't, we lose what we have been given. Because God says, I will take from him who has little and hasn't multiplied it, and give it to the one who has much. So the one who is multiplying, going out, activating, laying hands, ministering to people, reaching them, evangelizing, bringing them to church, bringing them to cell, ministering the word. God is saying, even that one that has just received impartation of the school of disciples or mentors, I will even take that impartation that they have, that little bit, and I'll give it to this one that is doing more out there. How do you increase in revelation? You keep giving it out. Are you guys with me? So he's looking for a people that we can go beyond just 20% of leaders, 80-20 rule in the church, where you say only 20% are those that are doing something. No, 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 nonsense. We've broken the Monday syndrome. We have broken, one person came, phoned me, also a very big minister. And please, when I speak about these ministers, I love them, okay? You don't know who I'm talking about. I love them. Somebody was talking nonsense and... you know, and they left in a huff and a puff because I said, I don't do pastor fraternals. I don't. What must I go sit for what? For who, what must I do? To sit with a pastor? I love them, but what must I go do? To hate me anyway? And if they can't beat us, they'll join us, you'll see. That is a rule of scripture. Get excited, because listen, expectation will determine what you will receive from God. You know, I was busy saying something. What was I saying? I was talking about something. Hey? Yeah, but it was before pastors fraternal. Hey? Sorry? Yes, gives increase when I give it. Okay, don't remember what that. But listen, you need to. Why sit in a dead religion where the word kills? It's not even boring, it brings death. That's what it does. The Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter, the law, when somebody keeps preaching how bad you are, or even maybe they don't do that, but they preach, but there's no power. When there is no power, it's a sign that God is not there. Simply put, don't come with, no. If there's not power, Paul said to Timothy, those who have a form of godliness that can talk the talk, they can talk anything. I mean, they can tell you about love and forgiveness and they can preach the word to you. But if they have a form of godliness, but they deny, say with me, deny. That's the thing. They deny the power. He said, turn away and run away from them. Because Christianity without the power of God is nothing but a dead science or a dead religion. The way that revival is going to hit this nation is by people sitting where the word is opened up. Listen, this I always tell people, I say, they come in, they're confused. I say, just stay a few months. After 6 months, if there's no change, by all means go. Maybe we'll consider giving your tithing back, I'm not sure. Okay, but if you have even, because if you have, you would be changed. So it's usually those that don't tithe. In fact, it's those that don't give or don't tithe that always comes for counseling and deliverance and problems. Those who tithe, never a problem. It's amazing. Are you guys with me? And you know, the problem with this type of preaching is that people are getting upset, I can see, in the back, you know. It's like the fire starts in the front and I can see them getting upset. It is okay. Get over it. The presence of God in a church, say with me again, say fire. These disciples says that our hearts not burn when you opened the scriptures, when you opened the scriptures. And then in another place, the Bible says that, I don't know if it was there, it was not there, it was another place. I can maybe be helped because I'm not speaking out of preparation. He was eating and Thomas was there, yeah, and said, you know, he had to put his finger in to see if it is him. And then Jesus walked through the wall. Now, if he has sat there and eat fish and bread, and it was in his body, sitting and eating with him, and he walks through the wall, wouldn't you think that the fish would get stuck to the wall and falling out? Now stay with me. Because there are many churches and believers, Christ is in them, but they are not in Christ. When you are in him, hidden in him, it doesn't matter what wall is in front of you, what door is closed, what mountain is standing in front of you. When you are in him, you walk through it as he walks through it. That is the gospel we preach. That is the supernatural. This is by your expectation, fire. Listen, all I'm doing, last night and tonight, I'm just preparing. I'm cooking. Say with me, cooking. It's cooking revelation, okay? Until it's going to fall. Say with me this word, say fire. Say fire burns. Now, I've given you the scriptures last night, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit. Say fire cooks. And I'm going to get back to this. You'll understand what I'm saying. Say fire is no respecter. It goes to presidents. It goes to janitors. Fire has no mercy. It touches little babies. Fire kills. Fire is dangerous. Fire is hot. Fire is unpredictable. Say it with me, say unpredictable. Fire, listen to me. Say, fire brings new life. There are seeds that when you see a field or a bush burn, bushfire, there are certain seeds that unless they go through a fire, they will never grow or give life. Unless fire touches them, they cannot grow. Life cannot come out. There are gifts inside of you, seeds, even seeds that you have sown. Unless it's in a place where there's fire. Because what work? How does, if I take a seed and I throw it on this ground and pick it now to grow, it's not going to grow. I need to find fruitful soil. But apart from that, there's some that needs fire to bring life. Say with me, fire changes everything it touches. When fire burns, it changes the nature of everything it touches. When fire is in a place, people give way. Are you guys with me? Say, fire is dangerous. Say these words. Say, fire is bold. Say, fire does not submit to the law of gravity. Listen to me. Science will tell you that matter is anything that has weight and can fulfill a capacity or a space. Are you guys with me? Space, matter, time, continuum. The three things in the beginning of Genesis. But we forget about energy. So that's the fourth one. But listen, fire that has fire, well, let me say it like this. Matter, according to science, is something that has weight and occupies a space. For example, this speaker is matter. It has a weight if you pick it up. And it occupies space. Fire cannot be weighed. There's no kilograms you can put to fire. Fire can go any direction unpredictably. Fire does not submit to the law of gravity. If something explodes in the air, the fire stays in air. Let's say an airplane explodes. Fire stays there. It doesn't submit to the law of gravity. Elijah said, the God who answers by fire. Say with me, answers. He is God, which means when fire has no enemies because it burns wherever it goes. Fire, wherever it goes, it leaves things unchanged into a different nature. It burns everything in its ways. It is bold. It is dangerous. It is hot. It burns. It cooks. Fire does damage. But Elijah said, the God who answers by fire, he is God. Which means that the God who answers, that every answer to your problem, whether it is rent that cannot be paid, fire does not submit to that law. It doesn't care if it's a building that is holding your money. Fire can change the situation. That is why God explains himself as an all-consuming fire. Because it doesn't matter what your enemies are saying. That fire consumes them. So fire is the answer. Say with me, fire is my answer. Listen here, say fire brings new life. When fire touches a church, new life comes out. We can have a service till 11 o'clock. And you will still see people sitting here not wanting to leave. Because it's an environment which your spirit has longed to be in. It was homesick. And when it touched this environment, it realized, but wait, this is what I've been missing. Are you guys with me? We're going to have some testimonies tomorrow night. You will see how, say with me, no limitation. There's some people, and we God bless them, and I love them, and we have done everything to love them. Oh, and they hate us. They will appoint people in their ministries to block us. But the problem is, what was that story where the king sent messengers out to Elisha? And Elisha said, if I be a man of God, by the word of Elisha, may fire come down and devour you. And 50, I believe it was prophets of Baal, I believe so, 50 was burned. The next group went out to Elisha, was sent to a next group of 50. Fire came down and burned them. The third group came. The man leading the troops said, listen. We have seen what is happening. I'm speaking to you scripture. Don't get religious. Are you guys with me? We have seen what, and the Bible says he got on his knees in front of Elisha and said, please, do not devour me by fire. When you carry fire, your enemies will touch you maybe once, maybe twice, but there will come a time when they realize that this believer, this Christian, is somebody that carries fire. That every time we touches them, fire. And the problem is that they've sent spies. They've sent spies. But every time they send a spy, they'll get touched by the power of God. Somebody said I mustn't be arrogant on the pulpit today. I'm sorry. They said David must also not stop his pride. You see, we can have the amount we have, which I'm not saying, okay? We can have the amount we have here. Or I can have 20 people, as long as God doesn't remove his fire from my life. You don't need training. You don't need theological seminary or this or that. You don't even need to think, is this a cult or not? We've given you the signs of a cult. Do you think a cult can do this? Please go look at these cults. They've, come on. There's no life there. We have people, I think we have a couple of families that came out of a specific cult, Christian cult. About 3 or 4. It's like there's no life. There's no change. We must stop, you know, there's, and then it's difficult for us to perceive, is this now God or not? You see, because if you drink fake orange juice your whole life, and then you taste real orange juice, you're going to spit it out, you're not going to want it. So you were sitting under fake. And then, religion is the same. Some people sit in here, it's like that spirit of religion will bind, they will not stand up. They will refuse. They will not even clap hands. But they think that we are of the devil and they are of God. And then I say, just go through deliverance. We give you 3 months, go through deliverance here. And then things will change. You know, so we have testimonies of people. Listen, people were sent to us from ministries where they would preach, Leon is a false prophet. The problem is, that's okay, you can do that, but don't send your people here because they might just stay. I'm telling you. And that person knows who I'm talking about. And we have loved them. I love every minister. We pray for them. I love them, we pray for them. But I want his fire to come. God's fire comes on someone who loses their reputation. They don't care if they must become an undignified, like King David said, even though I become even more undignified. He said, you curse me, or you say that I'm an embarrassment. He said to his wife, was it Abigail? Said to his wife, and he said, that because you are because you said this, I will even become more undignified. Because you said I'm too wild, I'll even dance more with no clothes. I will lose my reputation. And yet the Bible says that David's rule went on forever. Are you guys with me? Okay, if you put on the scripture for me, let's get somewhere. And I'll close off with this, and then we'll pray for your prophecy as what is needed. Go with me to, go with me to, go with me to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1. Let's see. Or before that, go to Acts chapter number 1, verse 14 or 13. Let's put on 13, let's see. And short message, but we're preparing for his fire to fall. My heart breaks when churches move or turn away from the power of God. I have known so many churches. They speak power. They confess it, they even preach it, but when it comes to doing it, there's nothing. And then when you do it, they attack you. Which Jezebel will always want to remove power. And I'm not speaking of false power now. You know what the full power is. Let's go to Acts 1 verse 13. Let's see what it says. Go to verse 12. Listen to this. This is now the book of Acts. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Next verse. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Say with me, the upper room. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon Zealot, Judas, the son of James. Next one. Next verse. These all continued with, this is where I want to get, one accord, say with you, one accord, in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Listen, these guys were all living in one upper room, but the Bible says they were with one accord. The book of Chronicles says that the ministers, the minstrels, the musicians, all of them were worshiping God with one voice. It doesn't say in unity. It says one voice, as one, they were worshiping him. And the glory cloud of God came down, that not even the ministers or the priests could stand on their feet to minister to him. They had to literally crawl out of the place because of the glory of God coming in. That glory comes when there is one accord. When there's a people that is hungry, that is expectant, that in them they have a fire that cannot be quenched. It is an unquenchable fire. Say with you, one accord. You know how we always look for demons? We look for someone that can't praise God. You need to. You cannot. The demon holds you from praising God. One demon was screaming last night or something. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't know what's going on. Cannot praise God. Sitting like this. Another person also like this. And the next thing they run or this or that. I'm not intimidated. We were screaming. I was just screaming and saying, shut up. It was in worship. So please understand that when we're rude, it's not because you are bad. It's the devil inside of you that's bad. Get the devil out. We are Christians. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Say fire. Say it again. Say fire. Listen, 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 listen. Have you seen it? One more time, one more time. Or stand to your stand. I'm not going to pray for you. Look at the time. Look at the time. It's ridiculous. I am beyond time. When you know God is in a place, you know, some preachers, they're thinking, what can I just do to preach for a half an hour, not to run out of time? I'm thinking I need 10 hours to give you a short message. But it shows me you can have revelation. Listen, fire. Say with me again, fire. If you're under this, and I didn't even finish where I wanted to, with one accord, I'll go in a little bit tomorrow night because it ends off at the baptism of fire. Where everyone, we're going to lay hands on you. Your paper that you have with the names on, bring it tomorrow, we'll put it on the altar. I tell you now, under this fire, when we lay hands on that, that you will see breakthrough coming. You'll see destruction to those who have meant for harm. I serve a different God than what some churches think I do. I serve the God where King David says, break the teeth of my enemies. Break the jaw of the wicked. We love people. I love people. Are you guys with me? But listen to me, when a revival comes and when there's a move of God, Peter was standing in front of Ananias and Sapphira saying to them, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Yet they didn't lie to the Holy Ghost, they lied to Peter. They withheld the tithe from Peter. Peter was the pastor of the church, they withheld the tithe. And Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Meaning, when you touch me, you touch the Holy Ghost. When somebody touches you, they touch the Holy Ghost. When they touch you, they touch fire. Say with me, fire. Listen here, when I said fire burns, it means that you will burn. When I said fire is unpredictable, it means that you will be unpredictable. When you are baptized with fire tomorrow night, when the baptism of fire falls, you will become unpredictable. You will become dangerous. You will burn and be hot. You will change direction like this. The laws of this natural world will lose its grip over your life, which means everything you come into touch with will change. Every enemy that stands in your way will give way, because fire is dangerous. And I hear the God, Spirit of the Lord saying to me, I am the all-consuming fire. And if you are a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, are you not children and sons and daughters of fire? That wherever you go, fire burns. So fire is going to fall. Say with me, say, I receive the fire of God upon my life. Tomorrow night, baptize me. Fill me with fire. In Jesus' mighty name.